This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I had a thought popped in my head in the shower this morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's where my best creative thinking goes on. And I don't know that I would say this is really creative thinking, more analytical thinking, I suppose. But I realized that there used to be a church on every corner around here. Most places in this country you'd go, there's just steeples everywhere. And the reason that it stuck out, I thought, what has changed and how is that necessarily affecting us today? Well, first of all, you know, it's not just the change in the number of people going to church, which in some ways is up, some ways is down. It's up maybe in quantity, but down in terms of a percentage of the whole. You just don't have as many people going to church. The ones that are going to church are largely going to much, much bigger mega churches as opposed to local Protestant churches, little local family congregations. And I think that you know, an interesting distinction in Catholicism and the Protestant churches, and it's not, this isn't a straight line because there's differences within the Protestant churches. But you get into the Mennonites, many Lutheran churches, Methodist, some others I can't think of. But those Protestant reformist sects, if you will, the churches that they built on their own. They were the landowners, the business owners, and a lot of that still goes on. Out here in the Mennonite country, up a little bit north of us here, which I'm well familiar with, those churches are all funded by the Mennonite businesses in those areas. Those wealthy Mennonite business owners, bankers, business owners, you name it, they put a lot of money back into their churches. They make a big investment there. That's the first thing. Now, and I think it was a normal thing for a family, you know, an extended family, where you had, you know, cousins, grandparents alike, a tribe, if you will, that they would have their own church of some kind. It got me to thinking, you know, why the move away from church, really? I mean, if we don't go to church right now. I'm not proud to say that, and I could get into the reasons why, but we do not belong to a church. We don't attend a church regularly, maybe once or twice a year. Probably more like once every other year, if I was going to be honest. Why is that? Not because I had some big bad experience with church. It just doesn't, the church today doesn't fit with, I guess, our spiritual needs. We don't have the time for it. That's not really it. I mean, it's on my mind. I know my wife and I have talked about it. But there's something else that's keeping us away, and I think it's that connection at the end of the day. But something else popped in my head. You know, why aren't more people going to church? Well, you know, the time, are too busy with other things. Why would that be? Well, you know, the modern life, blah, 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 blah. I'm not so sure that's true. I'm not so sure that, you know, people in the 1700s and 1800s weren't insanely busy growing food, building barns and homes and fields. You know what it takes to clear a field by hand? Anybody listening to this ever done that? I have. It is back-breaking, exhausting work. You know, we drive down to the radio station. We go through Fairmount Park, Mount Airy. You see all these massive stonework, masonry everywhere. And that was German, Irish masons, Italians in some cases. And I say to my brother driving down, I said, do you realize the work just to get that stone out of the ground by hand? And you look up at this bridge and you say, man, every one of those stones had to be lifted up there. How did that occur? How did that happen? These people knew how to do things. They had ropes. They had pulleys. they ended. But tell me they weren't incredibly busy. That they had all kinds of free time, right? Down there, they get done breaking their back down the quarry and have to go home and milk cows and tend to their garden so that they'd have food in the following season. But somehow people today are too busy. I don't think so. It reminded me back to boot camp. You know, I went to church every single Sunday when I was in boot camp. I guess, you know, the freedom of religion, it was part of the military experience even. You know why I went? I think everybody went. To get a break from boot camp. And that's what made me think, man, you know, if you're a stonemason and your tribe is your extended family, I mean, it's, you know, we talk about slavery, we talk about all these things. If you've ever been part of a big family, you know what it's like to be a slave to that family in a sense. Not a lot different in many cases. Family businesses, it can be quite the slave to it. I've lived it. You say, man, how can I get a break from this? Let's go to church. I don't know. It's just a thought. A little peace of mind. Maybe we have too much peace of mind. We don't need God anymore, I guess. But it got me thinking of something else, too, about this. You know, the change, you know, I mentioned about the change going from the country largely having littered with these small Protestant churches and then going to these bigger churches, but even for the small Protestant churches. I worked with our church mission committee back in the day, our conference mission committee. We would fund church plants, provide funding for them, provide assistance. And it was really fascinating, the struggles, inner city churches in Allentown, little Mennonite church in Allentown trying to survive. And that's kind of what I was getting at. It's like now the pastor has to be a marketing expert. And they have consultants and whatnot and firms. I kid you not. What's one of them? Outreach or something like that? Still get some of the emails about it. In fact, it was part of my role, this whole mission thing. I started a flag football league for children. And the purpose of that was to be a mission effort. Coaches were trained. And, you know, this is not a fire and brimstone type thing. We weren't doing altar calls at halftime or anything like that. But the idea was to expose the children to a godly environment on the sports field. And it was highly effective. If you have any interest in this, by the way, I'm sure they're still around. Upward Sports. They have soccer, basketball, flag football, and I believe there's a fourth sport. But they get you set up with everything you need. It's really phenomenal. All in an effort to share the gospel with children. And it really works. It's a really incredible way of doing it. I don't get too deep into it. But it's really a fantastic example of, you know, very modern effort to attract people into the church and into the Bible. And very simply, just by saying, hey, this is a better environment. I mean, this is a better message. And the parents bought into it, and the children bought into it, and it was incredibly successful. But, you know, this idea that the pastor had to be a marketing person to attract people into the church, that's not how it used to be. It was very much different. They would draw straws to see who was going to, you know, be the leader, the spiritual leader. It was a burden. Still is, I guess, in that regard. But there's a lot of responsibility. The focus was the spiritual health of the flock, not marketing to the lost souls so much. Obviously, there's differences in all that. You know, there's obviously been very evangelical stories throughout the Bible and since. But I'm just speaking generally in terms of our country. And I bring it up to say this to you. I think you follow that pattern and you can see the shift in that pattern and also lets you see the shift that has occurred politically. That whole movement is largely gone. Not completely gone, but largely gone. Will it ever come back? Will the Protestant Reformation movement ever come back? It's in big trouble. And I think when you look at the spiritual health of the pious, dedicated, whatever groups of our society, And when those groups are having trouble with their spiritual health, you can be rest assured that it's affecting the whole world, the whole country, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about it. It's just my observation. It popped in my head this morning. I want to talk a little bit about this attack that Iran made on Israel. What's going to happen next? Because I got a big look at this I want to give you. A big look. I don't know what I'm trying to say there. An in-depth look at what I see going on. And this is really going to be fast. I'll just say this. We got an election coming up. You better step back and just take a look a second. What did I say to you when Russia attacked Ukraine? I called it wrong. I said, nah, they're not going to attack. They attacked. And what did I say to you? I said, I don't know anything about this, but I know one thing, that the people of Ukraine are going to get the short end of the stick. How's it worked out? Ukraine has been decimated. Afghanistan is a rumbling mess. Israel is on the verge of being wiped out, maybe, maybe not. Gaza is a complete disaster. Look at what's going on in our border in Central America. Taiwan is nervous they're going to be overrun. This is all in a little over 3 years, this mayhem. Unbelievable, really. We need a change. The world's coming apart at the seams. But I'll tell you what I see going on with this Iran-Israel attack in a second. A couple of things I want to give you an update on. So, well, I guess I'll jump in with my back issue. It's a sciatica issue, I guess. I don't know. Nobody's really said that. I've been to the chiropractor twice a day. And it's really, I've dealt with this in the past. Been quite a while. You hear me talk about my back and, you know, the whole story about the concussion from doing pull-ups. That was the result. Really, I started just hanging from the bar for my back health, to stretch out my back. And hang from, you know, people do the inverted hanging. You know, you can hang upright as well. It's really healthy for you. It's good for your shoulders, good for your back, strengthens your back. I'm just doing a dead hang. And it should be, I believe, one of the three core movements you should be doing on a regular basis. What are those three core movements? Hanging, squatting, and pushing on some level. If you can't do a full range of motion, I recommend that you do what you can as regularly as you can. I don't feel like getting into my whole belief on all that, but if you continue to do those three movements, I believe you're going to see a better range of motion. You know, there's interesting statistics of people that can't get up off the floor without the use of their hands, that their longevity is much shorter. And it's no way to live. You want to be like a turtle on your back? That's how I felt the past couple days here with this back issue. Anyway, I hurt my back in a fire mission while I was in the Marine Corps. VA has nicely told me that it's not their problem, it's mine. And I've dealt with this my whole life. The past 10 years have been really good. I got a great chiropractor. I was seeing him every week. I've been stretching multiple times a day to keep my back healthy, to avoid exactly what I'm dealing with right now. And I did. Years ago, I'd have to go to the hospital. They give me a little dilaudid so that I could walk. I could go on and on. Anyway, past 10 years have been good, and I think over the past couple months here with a lot of the changes I've been going through, a little bit of stress, my schedule a little messed up, so I was seeing the chiropractor every other week. I'll net more visits now, right? It's like, because I didn't do the I backed off on the maintenance, and now I'm going to do more on the repair end. Let that sink in. Either way, and I wasn't walking for the week leading up to it for a bunch of reasons. I could give you my stupid excuse, but this is a reminder why I need to do these things. I threw it out. Friday night when I went to bed, I could feel it was a little sore. Saturday morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I was in a lot of pain. Now, sometimes you get a little, like, you get a little crook in there or whatever, and take a little bit. At the very, you know, maybe a couple minutes, maybe an hour. Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, got that worked out. And then I've been through it before where, you know, I couldn't get out of bed for 3 days. I got to go to the emergency room. They give me a little dilaudid so I can stink and move. So this time around, Saturday, I couldn't move. I don't want to do any medications or anything like that. The opioids I've tried in the past, I got to tell you, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe it's just with the condition, but they don't do anything to help it, and it's just very dangerous and destructive when you get into it. It's an, you know, everybody thinks you have to have it to deal with the pain, and you don't. You simply don't. You can tolerate a lot of pain. A funny little thing about that. What's today? Day six. I'm at about a level 4 right now, but it's so funny how tough I was talking day 1 and day 2. I said to my chiropractor, I'm like, by day 4, I'm like, God, I just want some relief, please. It's funny how the tone changes. But anyway, this one's been very unique. My hips going numb, give me a hard time walking. I'm nervous about that. My back, you know, my lower back where the problem is so numb. Like, I can't feel him. He's like, is that hurt? I'm like, I can feel the pressure. I know that's the spot, but it's not hurting me because I'm completely numb. That being said, each day, I mean, literally Saturday was a level 10. Sunday, maybe a 9, probably still a 10. I almost did a house call on my chiropractor. He would have seen it. I just did it to him a couple months ago. I was like, I can't keep bugging this guy on the weekends, man. So, and I wasn't sure I wanted to drive over there. He's about a half hour away to get to his house. So anyway, I stuck it out, level 10. I get in there Monday morning. He loosened me up a little bit. Kind of made me more sore in some ways, which I expected, you know, from moving me around. So, I don't know, 8.6 yesterday, level 6 pain. And I'm going to tell you, you get like a level 6 pain all day, it wears you down, man. I'd say I'm at about a 4 today, and it's early here. So I'm late with the podcast, the schedule's messed up, and everything's a mess. And that's why, because my back's a mess, and this happens occasionally. It's just been a long time. So a couple other things I'll tell you going on behind the scenes. The new studio setup's been great. I think I was telling you, I had this remote desktop setup, so these two computers are connected. Both, you know, really powerful computers. It's amazing and not expensive. I mean, it's nothing really fancy by today's standards. But really happy with it. And it's kind of funny to me, like the other computers, I don't know, as a crow flies, I don't know, 6-7 feet away. But I'll use the remote desktop to just access it from right here. I don't have to move. It's neat the way it's tied together. It's a nice little system here. I get a little kick out, but it's really enabled me to do a lot more. That being said, played around with quite a few different things over the past couple of weeks. The videos, for example, for this show are posted on Rumble. And I don't think I'm going to continue doing that. I'm going to go back to the audio for now. Not that it was a problem or anything. It adds an incredible amount of time that I'm just not getting any return on. We don't have an audience on Rumble. They're not going to feed it out. So, and I'll tell you, this whole scenario comes up a lot. A lot. This is the challenge on the business side of this, if you will. That being to grow the audience. And that is, you go on a platform, whether it's the radio or Rumble or the podcast platforms or whatever, and you've got to bring the content and you've got to bring the audience. And you got to pay for it all. It's a bit of a racket in that regard. It really is. But once you have an audience, there's just a huge value there. You know, we've made it to like step 2, and I'm trying to take it to step 3 here. And it's a struggle. It really is. It's not easy. And I said to my brother Michael, who goes down the radio show with me, I said, he said, man, you think somebody would help you out? To this? And I said, I tell you right now, I knew nobody going to help you out. There's no lucky breaks. No lucky break. We tried a couple of Hail Mary passes in that regard and, you know, reaching out to big names and stuff like that. And I thought Project Chaos, but we just very much pigeonholed. And I'll say this is kind of laughable to me. Let me give you a couple of numbers. We have I didn't realize it was this many. I really didn't. Over 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's quite a bit for Apple Podcasts. And I think the average rating is a 4.3. There's a couple of jamokes on there, gave me a 1. But most of them are 5s, all right? What else was I going to say? None of the reviews are bad. The book reviews, it was the same. Amazon, Audible, great reviews, 4.3, 4.4. There's no negative comments. A couple on the podcast calling me dumb and stuff like that, but nothing, you know, no actual complaints. There has never been a complaint lodged against this podcast, never been any accusation made against me. And despite that, we're just shut down, man. Shut out and shut down. Outside of the genre, and I was talking about this with the fact that they denied us running ads on the podcast, which is probably better at the end of the day as I look at it. I have a different path that I want to go. And do you really want to hear a B-roll of McDonald's and this garbage? No, it's not what the show is about. I was talking to my brother about this, the one that inspired me to do the podcast in the first place. He's listening to a spiritual podcast. It's like a McDonald's ad at the beginning of it. He said, I'm not sure if I agree with that. So yeah, I'm not sure if I do either. Now, you see, that's the problem for the advertiser, too. Because the food person is like, I don't know if I want to be involved in this Civil War talk that Chris has got going on over there. All right. I mean, people can't handle the conversation. I mean, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that. And it's fine. People just say, I guess I get too emotional. I don't really know what it is. But it's very difficult. But with that, one of the things I wanted to mention to you, I've done a little update to the website, a massive update, really. ChristopherScottShow.com. I guess functionally, mostly the same. You can contact me there. You can listen to the podcast there. The links to listen are right there. And also, I've incorporated a blog. And I put up the first, 15 or so posts on there. Many of the writings that I've collected over the years. And some of it is pretty rich. I mentioned this for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can go check it out. I'm going to be adding to it. I'll be emailing some of this out, too, for those of you on the email list. If you want to go sign up for my email list, you can do that at info@ChristopherScottShow.com. And I'll have bonuses and things coming out. There's volumes of stuff that I've written, huge writing on this. I need to put this out on this blog. So there it is on the blog at ChristopherScottShow.com. And I'm hoping you'll go check it out. But the other thing I'm hoping that you'll do is maybe go share it on social media. That's been my goal as a way to bring people, expose people to the podcast and the message. So what am I asking you to do? Go to ChristopherScottShow.com. You'll see right on the homepage, or you can click on blog, hopefully self-explanatory. Check out a couple articles. And share those out on social media if you could. And get me some traffic, would you? I'm being serious. If a couple of people would help me out and go, like, post a couple a day, post a couple in groups. Hey, this guy's a rock star, incredible Marine, best voice I've ever heard. Help me out a little bit, would you? Something. My back hurts. I'm trying to build a business over here. I'm trying to become known. And you have failed to help me in this endeavor. So let's get on it. Go to the blog. Getting a little bossy now. That's the pain. You know, so I was telling my buddy, I was like, yeah, I tried talking to the VA about my back pain. They'd tell me I should get a mental health exam. I kid you not. All right. Here's what I want to say about this Israel attack on Iran thing. Let me pull this little story up here. I wanted to say about the sharing the blog article. So I started sharing stuff out on Gab. And I don't know what's going on with Gab. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm having trouble posting the links there. The blog articles aren't appearing properly. It's so frustrating, man. Right? So you know when you just paste the link in it, you know what it is when you paste the link in social media? Well, no preview comes up from mine. This is the kind of stuff I deal with. Is it me? It must be me, right? I'm using a Wix blog with Gab, and I can't get it to work right. Twitter, you can share it directly out there. For some reason, it shares some different link out. I don't know. Can't figure it out. Try using the Twitter link on Gab. Doesn't work. Go figure it out. Anyway, why did I mention that? Gab's an interesting place. I'm not sure that the traffic is there is what I was going to say. I'm a little concerned that Gab is drying up, which would not be good for me. It's the only social media I'm really using. We are on Twitter, but they won't really let me do anything on there. I don't know. So let me get you a little information here. All right, so Iran attacks Israel. This is right when my back went out. I really didn't get too into it. Didn't really want to because you don't know what to believe, right? This whole attack, we see orange skies and World War III and this is it. Not so fast. Israel intercepted all those rockets and shot everything down. There was a little bit of minimal damage. No photographs of any actual damage or any strikes or any of that. What does all this mean? Both sides are manipulating the information. Israel wants to make it look like nothing happened. We shot down every missile. That's my Jewish accent. The Iranians are over there. Death to Israel. That was my Iranian accent. Best I can do here with a hurt back. And, you know, they're over there going, yeah, we just, you know, for the first time, you know, we took a direct shot at Israel. All right. So let's talk about this from a couple of angles. So here's what's being published by the Washington Post, you know, the highly credible Washington Post. In other words, this is the American military propaganda version of the story is what I'm getting from this. Israel parades out this missile tube. It's big, man. You should see this thing. But not at the actual site where they got it or where there was any impact. That's not what happened. No. They had this thing in some yard somewhere. And they were keeping everything very, very tight. All right? They say here, the Washington Post says, that Iran used 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles. And they have a whole breakdown here, you know, how big and how far they can shoot, 1,000 miles, and supposedly none of these things hit. That's not what I wanted there. None of these things hit. And they're talking about how Iran has sold these things all over the world, and this is what our military, I guess, is up against. They also show a whole map here. Remember, this is American military propaganda, so they want to show this. And they're playing both sides of this. This, the way I look at it, they're showing this is Iran being very, very dangerous, that they can reach Europe and all of the Middle East and Egypt and parts of Africa and the Indian Ocean with these missiles. And it's very, very dangerous, weapons of mass destruction kind of talk. You see where I'm going with this? Meanwhile, they've sold all these weapons all over the place, and at the same time, our propaganda is saying, well, they're not worth the crap because they're not going to hit anything with it, but as long as they're shooting at us, we have to shoot back, even if they don't hit anything. Interesting take on all that, right? Well, what is this all about? It's all about perpetual war. From a strategic standpoint now, because you're playing a dangerous game here, this might just be a bit of a checkmate because effectively Iran has a no-fly zone, I think. I could be wrong about this. Tell me what you think. Iran, if they have all these drones and missiles ready to launch, let's say Israel launches an air attack on Iran. Iran can fire back with all these missiles. And then what are the aircraft? They're not going to be in a position to respond the same way. The other question is, you know, was this a little test? You know, they threw a couple hundred of these things at, none of them hit. What happens if they throw a couple thousand at it? They throw this huge arsenal. I just find it hard to believe that Iran has spent all this time building enormous number of these rockets and missiles and stockpiling these things. Now you have these missile defense systems that have been talked about since Reagan. Remember when Reagan was talking about the Iron Dome or whatever, and everybody thought it was a hoax. That was nuts. And it's amazing how the technology, that they're shooting these missiles out of the sky. And this is kind of familiar territory in that the Muslim countries have never been able to hit the broadside of a barn with their military. They've got these huge weapon stockpiles. And their fighters just, they don't have any resolve for the most part. I'm not saying none, but just they shoot wildly and run has kind of been the MO. And that this latest Iran thing seems to show. Just launch everything in a kitchen sink downrange and see what happens, you know, rather than pinpointed targeted strikes and whatnot. But that being said, I don't think that you can discount it completely. And we don't know the truth of what was hit or what was attempted to hit. Is it a fact that did Iran succeed in penetrating and actually hitting an Israeli Air Force base? That's a pretty big deal. Do they then have the capability to do that on a much broader scale? Were they sending a message? Because remember, we're getting the American propaganda. Why would Iran do this attack? They said, well, it was because they shot the general in Syria. Man, this has happened before. The United States, there was no counterattack like this. I don't think that was the reason at all. I think the reason is, I think that there is a bona fide allied plan, Israeli-American plan to attack Iran. I think it's been in the works for a long time. I just saw the other day, if I didn't mention it, that I think we're providing funding or weapons to Iraq now. This is all gearing up for another Middle Eastern war, as I see it. Perpetual wars. This is what they need. This is what they want. It must be a war. Go find a place to have one. I think it's been happening since the Gulf War, really. I think it was the Americans that... You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You say, Saddam Hussein invaded. I think he was paranoid about getting invaded, and he did it as a stupid defensive move. The United States has become great at coming in and marking. And look at what they've done to Russia. Look at the hatred that they've built for Russia. Over what? Well, because they attacked Ukraine. Why did they attack Ukraine? Because they were being led to believe that that Russia was going to be attacked, that they had to preempt it. Why? Because of all the nasty American intelligence and all the garbage that we kept feeding over there in Donetsk. Provoking, provoking, provoking. The Americans are going to attack. The Americans are going to attack. We've been doing it to Iran. We do it to North Korea. We purposely keep them on edge, and it backfires. And I don't know where it's going to head to. You know, half of me is like, there's not going to be any World War III because there's nobody even knows how to fight a war. There's no fighters left. Maybe it's a good thing, I guess. What is ever completely good or not? Never, right? It just doesn't work like that. I'll say it. I think this situation with Iran, Israel, the Middle East is wholly and completely bad. W-H-O-L-L-Y, not to be confused with H-O-L-Y. Wholly and completely bad. The American military seems to be poisoned with the woke liberal illness, the mind disease that has them focusing on everything but war fighting, and the results speak for themselves. I don't think our country could take another ground war at this time anyway, not to mention the fact that the country's broke. But we'll wildly spend more. The American approach to finances is about as ridiculous as the Muslim approach to war fighting. Hey, I'll leave you with this. This long-range, all this technology, you can't have artillery anymore because of the threat of drones and missiles and this and that. But you can defend against it. And there is a place for these combat arms. But sadly, our great leadership says otherwise, and they're disbanding it. Hey, I don't know when I'm going to be back here with the back deal. I got a book signing event here on Sunday. Came up a little impromptu. Going to be back up at the Red Hill VFW with my buddy Joe Tyson. Got some incredible interviews lined up for Project Chaos. I'm very excited about that. If you haven't checked it out, go head over to projectchaos.org. Some great listening material you might enjoy as well. Thanks for putting up with me as my health hasn't been the best. And God willing, I'll be back when I come back. I'll see you when I see you. In the meantime, make it a great day.